Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. So, no more Iowa teams in the NCAA tournament.
No, a real disappointment.
It is. My bracket was already destroyed, but at least Iowa and you and I made it past the first round.
Well, that's true, but just big disappointment, really, for all three teams all the way around. It was great having everybody, all three teams there, but
yes.
Man, what a huge disappointment.
It is. So you look a little bit older today. You don't know how to take that, do you?
Thanks a lot, pal.
happy birthday, Brian.
Every time I turn around, this guy is reminding me that, I've got one foot in the grave. But no,
I haven't said that.
Yeah, well. No, I'm another year older and, again, no wiser. But, hey, it was very cool. I walk into the studio this morning, and I'm bringing donuts, okay? I stopped by the Dutch Oven Bakery, and I talked to Diane, and I got some
the
donuts.
Unofficial donuts of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Unofficial donut vendor.
There we go.
Anyway, so I bring in some donuts, and I look over there, and there's this cake sitting there. And it's a special cake that looks like a donut. They made it especially to look like a donut. And it says, Happy Birthday, Brian. Yeah. So hats off to Ron Carlson and Chris Roloff for throwing a little party here for us this morning. That was awesome.
Yes. So,
and it was good, too. Everything you get at Dutch Oven Bakery is awesome stuff. If you like sweets and you like carbs,
yes.
If you're an addict like I am, it's a great place to go.
Awesome. And yeah, and also just this weather has been kind of weird, hasn't it? I stepped outside today and I'm like cold, and I'm thinking if this were like January or February, it'd feel warm. But we had like 1 week of great weather, and suddenly my body's not adaptable. I don't know. It's weird.
Well, really, the last couple of months have been these massive temperature fluctuations and everything.
Right.
It really does have an effect on the body, not just the psyche, but the body. And you can catch colds and so on and so forth.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I always catch colds this time of year. Yes. I always get sick. I hate the ups and downs. But anyway, I don't know, have a good segue, but I just want to bring in our special guest who's on the line.
So you were talking about catching colds and
catching
always
colds.
Catching, that's cute. Good segue there.
No segue. We have Jennifer Bowen from Iowa Right to Life on the line with us. And I wanted to have her kind of come in and talk about one bill that's still kind of active in the Iowa legislature, as well as some going-ons in the, is that a word, going-ons, ongoing saga.
You did pretty good.
Okay.
Goings on.
Goings
that's
on.
That's an expression. That's
okay,
a real
yes.
expression. You didn't just cook that one
I
up.
I didn't, unlike some other things
that,
I say.
That vacant area between your ears.
So, anyway, we have Jennifer on the line. Jennifer, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Wow, good morning.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you?
She hasn't hung up on us yet.
That's a good sign.
I guess we're doing okay.
I was loving the segue. That was awesome.
the non-segue. All right.
So completely natural. I love it.
I'm just like, we stopped talking. It's like, I've got nothing. So.
And now let's talk about colds. Oh, Jennifer Bowen. Fantastic.
Maybe she sells vitamin C tablets or something.
Maybe. You got something going on the side there? So. All right. We have an ultrasound bill still, active in the legislature, and you guys sent out an alert the other day about the Iowa Senate. What's happening with the ultrasound bill?
Well, absolutely. What's happening is not much is happening. Since the Iowa House passed the ultrasound bill, I think it was March 12th, they sent it over to the Senate. And so now, of course, in true Senate fashion, we wait. So we did send out an action alert, I think, in the last couple days. asking people to just contact their senator, let them know that they really need to support this bill, and we need to see it move forward.
Okay. So the ultrasound bill, just for some of our listeners who may not be aware of what it actually entails, how would you describe this bill?
This bill is great because it's very, very straightforward, really just a couple of lines. We already know that the abortion industry is doing ultrasounds on women prior to an abortion. There's been some confusion with some Democrats who don't think that that's the case, but it is true. And so all this bill would allow is that the ultrasound that the abortionist is viewing, the woman would have the opportunity to see the ultrasound and hear the heartbeat as well.
Okay. So, it just blows me away how some, I guess pro-choice or pro-abortion, how they look at bills like this and they just kind of balk, and they, for some reason, they think this is just adding extra burden to the woman. How would you respond to comments like that?
Well, I think what's most interesting is when you listen, you never really realize the full impact of what a bill can do as far as saving lives, until you hear the opposition screeching in just utter despair over a bill. And that's what we watched witness for hours and hours in the Iowa House. I mean, it was just, the dramatics were unbelievable. And then earlier this week, we saw Senator Johnson on the Senate floor stand up again and ask, for the first time in 5 or 6 years, would you please allow a bill like the ultrasound bill to come into a subcommittee? We really want to be able to have the opportunity to vote on a pro-life bill. So after he did a very eloquent job, Senator Liz Mathis stood up, and she just went on and on about how demeaning and traumatizing and awful these, why would you put a woman through an ultrasound? And it's just, it's demeaning. And, you're sitting there screaming.
I think pregnant women who actually go in ultrasounds would disagree with that. I mean, that's generally that's the, oh, we get to finally see what the baby looks like, kind of,
Absolutely. And what was the most confounding reality with it, too, was that she's making it sound as though we, the pro-life community, want to punish a woman with something that, really, frankly, it's already happening.
Right.
And so the she obviously needs to understand what is going on in these abortions that she's defending so readily. But then we saw Senator Johnson circle back on the Senate floor after her show and say, he delivered the final, it was kind of like one of those drop the mic moments when he said, the baby has a heartbeat at 18 days, and here are the feet. He had the little feet pin of the 10-week baby feet. Uh-huh. And he's like, what else can we say?
Right.
And so I think from whether you're on the pro-choice side of this or the pro-life side of it, we hear them say, we want women to make an informed decision. Well, here's an opportunity where they can truly make an informed decision. And it's very disheartening to see opponents to this bill that really don't want to empower women to the best of their ability.
Right.
Jennifer, tell us what this is going to look like, assuming the bill moves forward in the Senate. Do you have a kind of a feel for a time frame? And just walk us through that for a moment.
Don't really have a sense of a time frame as far as how, and if and when and how that would happen. But I do know that what we need to do as a pro-life community, we need to continue to contact your senators. There have been those that have recommended contacting Senator Gronstall, Senator Liz Mathis, who are directly prohibiting this bill from, we've seen how many times, we've lost count of how many times on how many issues Gronstall has not let the Senate vote. Here again, we've got another opportunity to see a good, solid, life-saving bill languish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it doesn't restrict a woman. Unfortunately, I mean, I'd love to see restrictions on women seeking abortion, but I know some friends say they're going to take a picture of the child and then kill it.
Right.
But in reality, I've argued, I don't think, if you talk to crisis pregnancy centers, they will attest to, and I have talked to, several people who've worked in crisis pregnancy centers about this bill, and they say it makes a huge difference, not just on the women who are seeking, you know, abortion, but also the fathers too. It actually has a greater impact on the fathers because they can see that, hey, this isn't just this blob of undefined tissue. It is a forming child. It is life. And it, you know, it's I guess another step in trying to win hearts and minds toward, you know, our position, right?
Two thoughts on that. First of all, you're precisely right in that, you know, we see what you said with, we see, I think it's 75 to 80% typically of women who see the ultrasound choose life, and upwards to 90% oftentimes in men, you know, they have a far greater visceral response to being a father. And so when they have the opportunity to hear the heartbeat or see the ultrasound, it's tremendously successful in saving lives, which is exactly why the abortion industry is screaming about this, because they know it does save lives. You know, and to the point of our friends, the reality is, sure, that's true. The woman still has the opportunity or the choice to go through with the abortion or not. But we live in a society where abortion is legal, and we live in a society where we have free will, and that's the reality of it. And so the best that we can do in that reality is not drag society by their hair where we want them to be necessarily, but we need to bring them along, and ultrasound legislation, things like this, are exactly what goes a long way in saving as many lives as we possibly can until that ultimate day when they're all safe.
Great. You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and on the line we have Jennifer Bone of Iowa Right to Life, and I think Brian has a question.
Yeah, Jennifer, Shane and I had talked about this a week or two ago. It's hard for me to understand. I mean, since abortion's been legal in this country since 1973, it's hard for me to understand that there's this apparently monumental level of ignorance out there that an ultrasound would be so compelling to these folks. In other words, it would seem in this day and age, after this long, that people would understand without being, you know, without having to see an ultrasound, they would understand what it is that they're doing. And you just said here a few moments ago that if the woman looks at an ultrasound, that you get like 75%, did I hear you say, of women that are choosing life, and an even higher percentage of men?
Correct. You know, it does. It is absolutely baffling to us that we are still fighting. You know, there are so many days when I just want to bang my head on the desk and say, what in the world are we fighting? You know, I mean, this is so obvious. It's so obviously a baby. But I can tell you, after literally having tens of thousands of conversations, both myself and other people in our organization, and we know that because of petition signatures, bear out how many conversations we've had. I can tell you that pro-life and pro-choice, more often than not, when they interact with an Iowa Right to Life booth and our babies, you know, from 7 weeks on up to 30-week baby models, there are so many people on either side of the issue that to this day have no idea. They have no idea whether I don't think they're deliberately being ignorant, so to speak, on the issue. They just literally don't know, because until we had these baby models, people really didn't know what the baby looked like. Or these ultrasounds with 4D. You know, earlier this week we saw a baby reacting to their mother smoking in the womb. And so until we've had things like this in the last few years, people really honestly don't know.
And we got about 3 minutes left, so I want to ask you briefly kind of an update on what's going on with the Iowa Supreme Court and the webcam abortion ban.
So on March 11th, we were at the Iowa Supreme Court where they heard the oral arguments, both from the Iowa Board of Medicine as well as from Planned Parenthood of the Heartland, in regard to the decision that the Iowa Board of Medicine had made in 2013 to end webcam abortion. And so right now we are in a period after those oral arguments were heard, we're in a period of waiting for the Supreme Court's decision on whether or not webcam abortion will continue in Iowa. What was very frightening in reality is that Planned Parenthood decided, hey, you know what, rather than just making this about the Iowa Board of Medicine's decision to end WebCam, let's make this about the Supreme Court deciding whether or not abortion is a constitutional right out of the Iowa Constitution. And so they spent quite a bit of their time that morning trying to get the Supreme Court, didn't really have any evidence or any reason why they should do that. They just urged the Supreme Court to basically ignore the complaint before them and make the decision that abortion is a fundamental right to women in Iowa.
Well, it's a typical statist position. Hey, Supreme Court, create this right out of thin air for us. Because, you know, in their minds, rights come from government, not from God. And you look at the Iowa Constitution, says nothing, absolutely nothing about, you know, this issue where you could even think that there's any type of constitutional right to kill. Quite the contrary, actually. I mean, it just amazes me how, you know, we constantly, well, for instance, we give mass murderers due process rights, but yet we're killing innocent children in the womb without any type of due process, you know?
Without a doubt. And they didn't even, you know, what was, in hindsight, I was thinking through it, and I was like, okay, I'm not an attorney, and I don't even pretend to be in any capacity, but they didn't even have a compelling case. They just basically said, oh, you should do this, you know, and spent several minutes doing it. Pay no attention to why we're here. Pay no attention to the women that have been harmed by this and all of that. Let's, you know, I mean, the Yiddish, they have a term for it, and it's chutzpah.
That's right.
It's dangerous chutzpah.
And we are out of time. Hey, thank you, Jennifer. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a little bit.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa. And I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
His easygoing demeanor was so relaxing, refreshing, and romantic as a marriage partner. But as a parenting partner, not so much. Raising kids has been such a hassle with your contrasting styles. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Very few couples enter marriage thinking about their spouse as a mom or dad. Yet, that parenting stage can last two or three decades. And if there's anything you want to tackle as a team, it's parenting. However, the differences of your personalities, maybe your experiences, and even preferences can make it a battle for some sense of consistency. The Bible warns us not to provoke our children to wrath. To avoid this, it tells us to provide instruction and correction based upon biblical truths designed to draw them to Christ. To get help with your parenting plan, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029. He can help you find the life insurance
you need. And we want to jump right into our next segment here. We have a very special guest on the line, U.S. Senator, former U.S. Senator Rick Santorum, the 2012 Iowa caucus winner. Welcome, Senator Santorum, to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. It's good to be with you. I appreciate the opportunity always to talk to my good friends in Iowa.
Great. We're excited to have you. And kind of the first question I wanted to ask you off the bat, because I know my NCAA bracket is totally trashed. How's yours doing?
You know what? Not very good, to be very honest with you. Although I'm holding on, I picked one team to win it, and it's not who you think.
Okay.
But they're still in it, and it's Wisconsin.
Ah.
So I've got Wisconsin still winning it. So they got a tough game coming up, but I'm feeling pretty good about it.
I watched part of that West Virginia Kentucky game last night, and
that was an embarrassment.
Yeah, Kentucky looks like an absolute destruction machine.
Yeah. Well, you know how it is. These are a bunch of kids, so. You can have one day you just look like a world beater, and the next thing just seems to be a lid on the basket. So you never know what can happen.
Yeah, anything can happen in this tournament. That's true, Senator.
Yep.
Definitely. Shifting gears here from basketball. We didn't really call you to talk about or have you come in to talk about basketball.
Yeah, but we can talk to him about basketball.
We could do that, I'm sure. even though my knowledge is somewhat limited on that. But you've talked a lot over the last couple of years about the Republican Party's messaging to the working class. Yeah, you've written a book, Blue Collar Conservatives. What are some things that you think the party needs to change?
Well, I think we have to go out and talk about a plan to grow America, which is Republicans are pretty good at that. I mean, they talk about the, you know, we are and we should be enthusiastic supporters of the free market system and lower taxes and responsible regulation that allows our economy to grow. But I think we need to zero in a little bit more on folks who are not feeling like the economy is working for them. And I always remind people that 70% of working age Americans don't have a college degree. And when we go out and talk about, you know, new technology or an entrepreneurship, you know, only 10% of all workers own their own business. And so the idea that, you know, that technology and entrepreneurship is going to have that huge of an impact, you're talking about, you know, a combined, 5% of the population of our country. This is just not going to be, the right thing to do. And to have a viable strategy to bring the country together. That's really as important a thing on this message than anything, is that we have to have a message that's unifying, because the Democrats have made their bet. Their bet is they're going to divide this country. They're going to divide it among gender. They're going to divide it among race. They're going to divide it among ethnicity. And they're going to try to continuing to divide and drive up votes and drive up the percentage of votes among certain voter groups. And, you know, we just can't play that game. It's destructive for America. It's not good politically in the long run. Mm-hmm. And we have to be the party that unifies, which means we have to talk to everybody.
Right.
And I make the argument that we have to go out and talk about, first and foremost, energy as the key. 40% of lower income workers in America, lower income workers spend 40% of their disposable income on energy.
Okay.
So if we can be the party that's going to keep energy prices stable and low, then create jobs in that sector of the economy, which the president is completely against. You go to the coal fields of West Virginia, the coal fields of Pennsylvania. You go to the gas fields and oil fields of now North Dakota, which are hurting because of what this president has done, an increase in not putting the pipeline in place. They're getting a huge hit, $10 a barrel, because they can't get their oil to the refineries. All of these, we're not allowing to export oil, which is devastating for the industry in this country.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things we need to talk about to create jobs there, and importantly, more importantly, I would argue, to create jobs in the manufacturing sector of the economy, which really is the sector of the economy that redistributes wealth efficiently, you know, that keeps the government out and
right.
The economy where the private sector is making sure that people with all different skills have jobs and the ability to make things in this country and be able to climb the ladder of success. And as Shane, you know, because you followed me very closely, I talked about that everywhere I went in
right.
2012. It is the right message It is a message that connects to people who are looking there and saying, where is my future in America, and how am I going to work so I can make America a better place for my children? That to me is economic message. Very, very important. But as you know, Shane, I also write a book called Blue Collar Conservatives, and the economics isn't just enough. It's also us to talk about the importance of family, the importance of education, particularly vocational education. Mm-hmm. So it's a whole package of ideas.
Right. Well, the stat you mentioned about 70% of working Americans don't have a college degree. President Obama, during his State of the Union address, said, hey, free community college for all. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's the last point I mentioned. It was vocational education. I mean, the reason the president wants to do community college, and by the way, why just community colleges, as are government run, instead of predominantly government run, instead of all private technical schools, which the president, you know, the private sector, he's trying to eliminate those programs. So it's the same old stuff from the president, which is, okay, our schools don't work. Our schools don't function to educate our children enough so they can get a job. So we're gonna have another layer of government schools try to do this, and you're gonna pay for it. That's just more bad money after more good money after bad. And so what I've suggested is following what several governors in this state have done. I've talked to two of them who are dear friends of mine, Mike Pence and Sam Brownback. And they've offered programs to restore vocational education in the high school. In the case of Indiana, every high school in Indiana now has to have a vocational education program, and regional boards made up of business people and educators in different sectors, in different areas of the state, you know, training, tweaking the vocational programs to meet the job needs that are out there in the community. These are the kinds of things that we should be doing. That's when I was growing up. You know, about a third of the kids in my school went to vocational education when I was in the public schools. And we've gotten away from that because we somehow or another think that doing jobs with your hands is somehow beneath the dignity of American workers. That's just a bunch of baloney. We need to respect and honor folks who use their head and their hand at their workplace.
You are listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and on the line we have former U.S. Senator Rick Santorum.
Yes, Senator, this is Brian. I am curious to know what you think, and I know we only have a few moments here, but I'm curious to know what you think about some of the things that have been going on with respect to the Obama administration's work in foreign policy, which to me seems right now to be an absolute unmitigated disaster.
Brian, you couldn't have said it any better. It is an unmitigated disaster. There's only two countries in the world that we have a better relationship now than when President Obama came into office, and those two countries are Cuba and Iran.
Exactly.
And if that doesn't tell you anything,
face palm.
That's just awful. And the bottom line is, it's going to get worse. I wish I could have some sense of optimism, but you know we're now seeing the French are trying to save us from a bad nuclear deal with the Iranians. I mean, who would have ever thought 7 years ago that we would be saying, thank God for the French for being strong.
Yeah, what's wrong with this picture?
Yeah, and that's the weakness of our John Kerry and Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden and Barack Obama and their foreign policy team. But if we're going to go into this next election, we have to have someone who has a very clear vision and has the ability to educate the American public, provide real leadership and gravitas to this issue. And one of the reasons I'm actively considering running is I've worked in this subject area of the global jihadist movement for the better part of 13 years now. After 9/11, I realized very soon, very quickly, that our enemy were not terrorists, no offense to George Bush, but they were radical Islam, and these were these jihadists. That we had to understand where they come from, what they read, what their historical context is, and I have been out on the front lines fighting that issue, both in the Senate when I was there. I gave a series of speeches in 2005 and 2006, which I called the Gathering Storm of the 21st Century. I was running for re-election at a time when the war was very unpopular, but I just felt compelled to talk about the threat of a nuclear Iran, the threat of a reburgeoning, of a re-energized radical Sunni state. And I went out and talked about the impact that has, not just in the Middle East, but also in Central and South America, and then situations are going on down there and in Russia. So I think having experience, having fought those battles, particularly having fought those battles against Hillary Clinton, which I did, is a very important measurement that people should be looking at to determine who they want to lead the party in the country.
And I remember, Senator, in 2012, excuse me, I've got the wrong... maybe it was the right year. My brain's gone dead here. When we were in the midst of debates in Iowa, one of the things that really separated you from some of the other Republican candidates at the time was you were quite willing to say that the reason radical Islam hates us is not because of something that we did or a relationship we had here or something that we were doing economically there. That you made the point that they hated us for who we are.
Well, during the 1930s, Winston Churchill was trying to warn the British people and the West about this man Hitler, and he would say, "All you need to do is read his book, and you'll see what he's really up to." And that's what I say. All we need to do is read their books. If you read their books, it's very clear that those books written hundreds and thousands of over 1,000 years ago in some cases. That we know it had nothing to do with the United States as to what their feelings are. They didn't exist then. And it's not about our foreign policy. It's not about who our friends are. It's about who we are, what we believe in, and what we want in this world. And they have a fundamentally different worldview. It's not one that's particularly familiar to us, and so we have a hard time accepting the truth of it. But the bottom line is we have an obligation to have leaders who tell the truth to the American public. And to date, we simply have not had those.
You had mentioned Mike Pence earlier, and Indiana just passed a Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which looks very similar to the federal version that actually Bill Clinton signed. What could be done at the federal level to address religious freedom? Because it seems like it's becoming an increasingly greater problem.
Well, you're going to see very shortly with the Supreme Court decision, which I am not particularly optimistic about with respect to marriage. This issue is going to become one of the most important issues in our country, and I fear, because I produced a movie on this. I run a movie company. I'm the CEO of Echo Light Studios. One of the first movies that I produced when I was there was a movie on religious liberty called One Generation Away. That movie will be out on DVD next month. But we've shown it in churches all over this country. We've shown it to the legislators and everyone. We've tried to sound the alarm as something that is fundamental, which is once a country starts to get religious liberty wrong, it goes quickly. And what we're seeing, and we're seeing it now, we're seeing a movie that we did last summer, and probably every month there are as many cases as we took several months to collect. It's accelerating, and I would just make the argument that the other side is not going to accept a biblical worldview on marriage and the family, that it cannot coexist with a radical secular view on that subject, and one will try to force the other into not just out of the public square, but delegitimize it to the point where you will be persecuted and prosecuted.
That's right.
For holding this position, even in the church.
You're exactly
this
right.
This is happening, and unless we are alert to it and are willing to stand up and fight against such radicalism, it's going to come quickly.
Yeah, we are almost out of time. Again, people, your website, ricksantorum.com. And you also run Patriot Voices. It's an organization.
PatriotVoices.com, yes.
PatriotVoices.com. So encourage our listeners to check that out. Also, go ahead and purchase a copy. I'm sure Senator Santorum wouldn't mind, of Blue Collar Conservatives.
And a DVD when it comes out.
Yes. Thank you, Senator Santorum, for coming on. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for caffeinated thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website, conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint, without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
His easygoing demeanor was so relaxing, refreshing, and romantic as a marriage partner. But as a parenting partner, not so much. Raising kids has been such a hassle with your contrasting styles. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Very few couples enter marriage thinking about their spouse as a mom or dad. Yet, that parenting stage can last two or three decades. And if there's anything you want to tackle as a team, it's parenting. However, the differences of your personalities, maybe your experiences, and even preferences can make it a battle for some sense of consistency. The Bible warns us not to provoke our children to wrath. To avoid this, it tells us to provide instruction and correction based upon biblical truths designed to draw them to Christ. To get help with your parenting plan, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries. Check out Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141 or check out his website at crosswalkcounseling.org. And now we've come to our time on our show where we're going through a news rundown.
News rundown. News hopefully you can use.
Ted Cruz, surprisingly, I think, is the first declared candidate in the 2016 presidential election. I assumed it was going to be Jeb Bush or somebody, but I mean...
Who?
Jeb Bush.
Who?
Bush. Anyway, because he, you know, he formed that presidential exploratory committee, which is kind of like, you know, hey, I'm thinking about running. This is my unofficial official announcement that I'm running. That's the whole concept of exploratory committee is kind of weird, because if you get to the stage where you're going to do exploratory committee, I've never seen anybody do an exploratory committee that didn't actually jump into the race.
Yeah, you end up with the possibility that I might consider the possibility of running.
I mean, it's just a fundraising mechanism. That's all it really is. But anyway, Scott Owen, who does Crosswalk, he's not running for president.
By the way, Scott's a good guy.
He is.
But he's not running for president.
No, he's not. Anyway, Ted Cruz announces and liberals' minds explode. Just saying. They're already threatening to immigrate to Canada, which that alone may make me want to support Ted Cruz.
That's exactly right.
That is
exactly right.
Please immigrate to Canada.
Look, you know, with respect to Ted Cruz.
And the Canadians are saying, no.
They could use him up there.
They could.
Yeah, they could use him up there.
Actually,
not the liberals,
though,
but they could use him.
But amazingly, their government's more conservative than ours. It was Stephen Harper. It's a conservative party. It's got the majority in Canada.
Yeah, they've definitely been moving right. But no, Ted Cruz is perhaps most famous for his opposition to Obamacare, as well as the famous shutting down of the federal government in 2013. And what happened was an awful lot of people no doubt because the media portrayed him as such. An awful lot of people just dismissed this guy as a narcissist who was interested in getting a lot of publicity that was all about him,
right,
and so on and so forth. And look, I want
to
say,
I'd love to know how many mobile cell phone or numbers he's collected over the years with this. At the end of every speech, you know, text, remember what it is to such and such. I'm like, he's got to have tons.
Well, it seems to me that being a bit of a narcissist is a job qualification for someone who's running for public office, particularly this office.
You have to be self-confident, at least.
Yeah okay.
Well,
you're being very diplomatic there.
Right, but, it takes... You got to obviously be in a position where you can say, hey, yeah, I'm in a place where I could actually even consider this. Because, you know, there are some people who I know we actually, some would probably argue, well, he's not the first declared candidate. This person already declared a year ago and would say, who?
Mm-hmm.
There's this other guy. Gosh, I can't even think of his name. Dennis Lynch, I think. I think that's his name. If that's not his name, forgive me.
It's probably Scott Owen.
It's not Scott Owen. But there's this guy out there who's already, I think, declared that he's running for president. Nobody knows who he is.
Right, right.
There's got to be at least, some... I think that takes more hubris to run for president when nobody knows who you are than it is if you're in a position where people actually know you. And because people are already actually kind of thinking of you in those terms, and that's kind of the key. People, they float your name around. You rarely see, except for now, Louis Gohmert, Congressman Louis Gohmert's kind of throwing his name in the mix that I'm considering a run for president. Most people, you're usually hearing some buzz about them running before they actually announce.
But my thought about this whole business about the narcissism, criticism, and so on and so forth. My thought is, look, I don't care if the guy is a bit full of himself, and I'm not saying it is. I'm saying I don't care. If he has the guts and, as you say, the hubris and the self-confidence, however you want to describe it, to go in there and do what needs being done, and there are few guys out there that are willing to do that or at least attempt it.
Right.
What do I care? The guy's going to get my vote if I think he's actually going to go out there and do what I think he needs to do.
Yeah. Yeah, there's obviously some things. I mean, their principles and their core values are first and foremost. Then I also, then further down the line, I look at, okay, are they a viable candidate? That's not my first and foremost thing, but that's definitely an important thing to look at. I'm not talking about the electability. I'm not. What are you looking?
Just thinking, we can bring old Mitt Romney back.
We'll talk about viable candidate. Mitt Romney, I would have said was not because of, just because of the flip flopping, because of a lot. Of, I mean, you can't have a candidate that's going to alienate the base.
And what's his name?
Romney.
Romney, he sucks. Hey.
Anyway, we had to find a reason to play that clip again. So. Moving on, Harry Reid.
Speaking of somebody else we really love.
Yes, Harry Reid. We need to find a clip for Harry, but he is retiring. And you can hear the angels rejoice.
Hallelujah.
No, this man has been such an obstructionist in the Senate. He actually makes Mike Gronstahl at the Iowa Senate look good. I think Harry Reid is probably Mike Gronstahl's mentor in a way. So because they both are masterful obstructionists.
Works pretty well, doesn't it?
Right. So anyway, Harry Reid is he's actually getting in the way of a deal made between John Boehner and Nancy Pelosi over a healthcare reform package that actually fixes an issue they've had for years, and it's dealing with, it fixes a glitch in the Medicare payment system to doctors, which has, plagued Congress annually for decades. It requires also higher income seniors to contribute more to the cost of health care. Anyway, Boehner and Pelosi came to a deal, and this is obvious. It seems to be something that you know, some a lot of Republicans can get behind. But here's the catch. It has Hyde Amendment language in it, something that has been part of, you know, our the expectation for years is that the Hyde Amendment language of
decades.
It's been around. It's nothing new. We do not codify taxpayer funding of abortion, period. And now that's becoming a roadblock for Harry Reid. And now he's criticizing Pelosi for getting, you know, signing on to this deal because it includes Hyde Amendment language that has already pre-existed. Go figure. Anyway, with Harry Reid's retirement, that provides an opening for Republicans because right now the junior senator from Nevada is Republican, Dan Heller, I think is his name. So this provides Republicans another opportunity, provided they don't screw it up in the next 2 years, maybe pick up another seat in Nevada. So we'll see. And moving on.
Well, speaking of abortions.
Oh, gosh.
Let's talk a little bit about that New York House bill that got passed.
Yeah, the New York Assembly. The New York Assembly passes a bill allowing for the shooting babies through the heart with poison to kill them.
Incredible.
So, let's just think of a new way to kill unborn children. And this was part of a package of bills designed to push the interests of women. And it had been held up in part.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. It had been held up in part because it includes a measure that would promote late-term abortions in the Empire State. But despite strenuous support from pro-abortion Governor Cuomo, this is from LifeNews.com, the legislature has refused to pass the package of bills because of the abortion measure. The abortion bill, however, anyway, it's just a tragedy. This was passed. It passed 94-49, so obviously a lot of Republicans signed on.
Why would anybody want to expand third trimester abortions?
Horrific.
Regardless,
I don't know.
Regardless of the procedure.
Horrific.
I don't get it.
This is Caffeinate Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
His easygoing demeanor was so relaxing, refreshing, and romantic as a marriage partner. But as a parenting partner, not so much. Raising kids has been such a hassle with your contrasting styles. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Very few couples enter marriage thinking about their spouse as a mom or dad. Yet, that parenting stage can last 2 or 3 decades. And if there's anything you want to tackle as a team, it's parenting. However, the differences of your personalities, maybe your experiences, and even preferences can make it a battle for some sense of consistency. The Bible warns us not to provoke our children to wrath. To avoid this, it tells us to provide instruction and correction based upon biblical truths designed to draw them to Christ. To get help with your parenting plan, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
the most exciting hour of your week. We know. We know it. Just admit it. You love us.
Our listeners and
you're probably most excited that we've hit our last segment.
Oh, goodness. Okay. And now we've come to my favorite part of the show. We are about to share a story that is truly unbelievable. Yet, you know it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up.
All right. This story is out of Washington State, that is.
Even though you probably find some weird things coming out of Washington, D.C.
Well, that's true, too. It's from the Associated Press. A Washington State patrol trooper says it's by far the best carpool scam he's ever seen, but it didn't work. Troopers don't always stop people in the HOV lanes. That's the high occupancy vehicle lanes. But when they do, they prefer DOS passengers. A motorcycle trooper parked along Interstate 5 near Tacoma on Monday afternoon spotted a driver and a rather unusual passenger passed by him in the carpool lane. And when the trooper stopped the car, he discovered the passenger was a cardboard cutout.
Yes.
Of the actor who portrays the most interesting man in the world in the Dos Equis beer ads, which, by the way,
looks remarkably like you.
I've been told that.
A Hispanic version of Brian Myers.
I have been told that. Well, who's to say that it's not me? I'm the most interesting person in
you
the
are.
World. Maybe I've been everywhere and done everything.
Possibly.
Okay. Anyway, the driver's response was, he's my best friend. The most interesting man was not confiscated, but the driver was told not to use him again. And channeling the cardboard cutout, the state patrol tweeted, I don't always violate the HOV lane law, but when I do, I get a $124 ticket.
Oh, nice.
And this has actually been on a lot of news sites. There's a picture. There's a picture of this idiot. He's sitting there with a stupid grin on his face. He's got the Dos Equis guy. He's strapped in the seat next to him.
Oh, wow. Oh, hey, he's beautiful. He's following the seatbelt law in his state.
That's right.
And they still give the guy a ticket. What is wrong with this?
Well, my thought is they should cut the guy a break just for being creative. Okay?
Too, and also maybe out of pity. He's like, he's your best friend. I'm sorry, man. You know what? I don't want to ruin your day because obviously you've hit a low spot when you're best friends with a cardboard cutout.
Well, I mean, imagine it, though. I mean, think of all the conversations you could have with the most interesting man in the world.
No doubt.
Over a couple of cold bottles of Dos Equis.
Right, right.
I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, does it?
Yeah, well, you know.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm mixing beer brands there, right?
I can see him saying, Officer, I'd like to have, I just can't find anybody else to ride in the carpool lane with me. First of all, I hate carpool lanes, period. I just, yeah, they drive me nuts. Anyway, I could go on a rant about that, but I'm not. Fortunately, we don't have really, at least not in the Des Moines metro area. I don't know if anywhere else in Iowa has them.
No, we don't have any HOV lines or lanes around here.
No, I know not in Des Moines.
I don't think
but
so.
I just don't know if anywhere else. Probably not, because we don't really have the traffic.
Well, I've heard of these guys that'll get the dummies. You know, they'll put the dummies in and strap them in.
Nice.
But this is classic, though. Cardboard cutout. Okay, I'm the most interesting man in the world. You got that guy seatbelted in there. That's just beautiful.
He obviously needed
he two needed, dimensional.
Yeah,
that ought to fool everybody.
He needed to be a little more 3D. Oh gosh.
Oh boy. Okay.
Right. So their tweet is hilarious. Though. Yeah.
I'm going to call him down here and give us our quote of the day. We need never shout across the spaces to an absent God. He is nearer to our own soul and closer than our most secret thoughts. That's by A.W. Tozer.
Amen. Thanks for listening. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll see you next week.
Take care, everybody.